The last ingredient is self-fulfillment. I'd like to begin this with some interesting statistics. If we could shrink the Earth's population to a village of 100 people, with all the existing human ratios remaining the same, it would look something like this. There would be 57 Asians, 21 Europeans, 14 from the Western Hemisphere. That's both North and South America, all of Canada, all of Mexico, all of South America, all the United States, only 14. 8 Africans, 52 would be female, 48 would be male, 70 would be non-white, 30 would be white, 70 would be non-Christian, 30 would be Christian, 89 would be heterosexual, 11 would be homosexual. 6 people would possess 59% of the entire world's wealth, and all 6 would live in the United States. 80 would live in substandard housing. 70 would be unable to read. 50 would suffer from malnutrition. 1 would be near death. 1 would be near birth. 1, yes, only 1, would have a college education. 1 would own a computer. Here's more to ponder. If you woke up this morning with more health than illness, you're more blessed than the 1 million people who will not survive this week. If you have never experienced the danger of battle, the loneliness of imprisonment, the agony of torture, or the pangs of starvation, you are ahead of 500 million people in the world. If you can attend a church meeting without fear of harassment, arrest, torture, or death, you are more blessed than 3 billion people in the world. If you have food in the refrigerator, clothes on your back, a roof overhead, and a place to sleep, you are richer than 75% of the world. If you have money in the bank and in your wallet, you are among the top 8% of the world's wealthy. If your parents are still alive and still married, you are very rare, even in the United States and Canada. If you can read this, of course, you're listening, but you'll be blessed because over 2 billion people in the world cannot read at all. I've learned in my 55 years that when you have a global perspective, your outlook on life changes and self-fulfillment becomes easier because you understand that most of what you previously thought were needs aren't needs at all. They're wants. What is self-fulfillment? Again, I thought long and hard about this. I believe self-fulfillment is this: a deep, secure knowledge that the path you are walking in life is in harmony with God's plan for you. This is not to say that you're perfect, but that the direction you're headed is the right one. You are, each day of your life, trying to make good, noble choices. You are filling your cup and giving abundant love to everyone in your life circle. And when you leave this mortal existence, you'll leave a wonderful legacy. Our tomorrows are determined by the decisions we make today. The decisions we make today are affected by our level of self-control. And self-control is a prerequisite for self-fulfillment. The last line of the third verse of America the Beautiful has an important message for each of us. Confirm thy soul in self-control. Self-control is a continual process, easier at some times than at others, because life is not one smooth, continuous ride. It's filled with jolts and surprises, isn't it? I remember as a young girl occasionally being frustrated while learning to play the piano. Did this ever happen to you? Did you ever try to learn a particular piece? No matter how hard you tried, you just couldn't get it? I remember banging both hands on the keys in total frustration, as if that would help. But then when I became a mother, I learned about patience. I learned many priceless lessons while in the refiner's fire. I remember hearing these words. Sorry, Mrs. Fellingham, your daughter's kidneys have completely failed. She'll be on dialysis the rest of her life. Is this Paula Fellingham? Your son has just been life-flighted to the University of Utah Hospital. No? We can't tell you what happened. Just hurry. Mrs. Fellingham, your daughter needs brain surgery immediately. Paula, there is no life in the child you are carrying. Mrs. Fellingham, your five-week-old baby girl has double bilateral viral pneumonia. There is nothing we can do for her. The lessons I learned through each of these horrendous challenges made me a stronger woman, more grateful, more empathetic, more others-centered, and better able to not sweat the small stuff. Confirm thy soul in self-control. Sometimes self-control is born out of a sense of perspective that we gain while living through life's trials. Interestingly, some women gain this perspective while very young, and some women never learn it. You're way down the path of learning relative to this principle of self-control. Although young, you get it, or you wouldn't be sitting here today. Self-control reminds me of the time right before a concert begins. Orchestra members are busy warming up and practicing. The noise level's high. There's a mass array of sounds coming from many different instruments in that orchestra. And then what happens? Right before the performance is to begin, the concert master or mistress, always the first violinist, stands up and faces the group. He or she plays one note. A solitary A is sounded, six notes above middle C. With that signal, the entire orchestra moves their bows and their fingers to align with that A, and soon they're all playing in unison on the same note. My sweet friends, in our lives, there is so much noise. So many voices compete for our attention, and we're confused at times. But when we exercise self-control and align our choices with our knowledge of right and wrong, the confusion disappears because we are in alignment with that one single note of truth. And as you continue to listen and respond, exercising your self-control, that note will resonate even more clearly to your heart. And your every word and action will more easily align with what you know to be right for you and your family. Listen to the A note within you. It is playing your unique song and inviting you to align and sing along. Nowhere is self-fulfillment better illustrated than by the giant bamboo tree in Asia. Have you heard about this? The giant bamboo tree has a real hard seed. It's so hard that to grow, you have to water and fertilize that seed every day for 4 years before any part of it breaks through the soil. But then, in that fifth year, the remarkable thing is that once it breaks the surface, the bamboo plant grows about 90 feet in less than a month. Maybe only members of the Zango family understand that kind of growth. And yet, what is the reality in our lives? We may shoot up tall and strong in one area, but we struggle as we grow one baby step at a time in other areas. But that's the beauty of life. We fill gaps. We've been given different strengths and weaknesses, so we'll need each other. I believe it's all part of the grand plan to teach us the most important thing we need to learn on this earth, how to truly love one another. And as we come full circle, I remind you that loving others begins with loving ourselves. My sweet friends, your talents are many and your contributions are unique. Only you can do the work you're doing in the way you do it best. You're a blessing to Zango, to your family, to your fellow man. You were born for such a time as this. The world needs strong women like you. In closing, I'd like to invite you to use the ingredients of self-knowledge, self-approval, self-commitment, and self-fulfillment to create amazingly delicious cookies for yourselves, cookies that will nourish your souls and strengthen your lives. And as you digest those sweet treats, remember how very, very much you are admired, appreciated, and loved. This is Paula Fellingham. Thank you, and God bless.